Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. Today, my very special guest is Jonathan Zide. He's the Vice President of Marketing at Cabrillo Credit Union, bringing over 2 decades of marketing and business development experience and 20 years in the credit union business here. And he also has a Bachelor of Science in Journalism. I like that. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm very excited to be here today.
We're pleased to have you. And listeners, we thought that it would be a good idea to bring on a financial expert in these times when we're hearing so much negative news about problems with the big banks and the banking industry in general, you know, the latest being a major bank that was caught setting up fake accounts or duplicate accounts in people's names. Before that, it was the big banking industry bringing on the mortgage crisis. And before that, it was the savings and loan scandals. So, Jonathan, tell us a little bit about what credit unions are and how they differ from other banking models for people who may not be familiar with that.
Sure. That's actually it's a great topic because most people don't understand that banks and credit unions are fundamentally different. The main difference is that banks are owned by shareholders. When a profit's generated by the banks, that money goes back to the shareholders. Credit unions are owned by their members. That's why we typically call them member owners. So every member owns a small piece or share of the credit union. So when money is generated, credit unions are not for profit, but they do have to make a profit. And so when they generate revenue, when they have loans and they have, you know, people are paying loan payments and things, that money is generated, that goes back into the membership with things like discounted rates, technology and other services and free services that other institutions such as big banks might charge for.
Interesting. So you can often get lower loan rates and so forth through a credit union than for the same type of loan through some other type of financial institution?
Typically. Credit unions are really about lending. Credit unions were started when you had a group of people that got together and pooled their resources because they didn't have access to traditional banking, like people who are a little bit more established or more well-off. So what they did is they partnered, right? They put their money together in a box and they said, okay, each person puts their $5 in the box and then that money is loaned out to an individual within that group that needs to borrow the money. And then they pay it back. They pay it back with a little interest. And then the next person borrows some money. So it really started from the small banking concept turned into what's now a competitor to the banks, but tries to hold on to that traditional, that method of, you know, remembering we're all part of this group.
Yeah, in the early days, weren't credit unions mostly devoted to a particular employees at a particular company, or maybe federal workers or people in a particular industry? And now, anybody can join one, is that correct?
For the most part, there are still some federally chartered credit unions that are chartered for a specific group, but the majority of credit unions, at least in larger areas like San Diego, the larger credit unions have become what's it's called community charter, community-based, so that anybody in the community, whether they live, work, or worship in that area, can join the credit union. But again, there are still some that are closed field of membership, but it got to the point where every individual group had their own credit union, and instead everybody said there's more opportunity if we open this up to the general community.
Yeah, and credit unions also are often locally owned. I know Cabrillo was started here about 55 years ago right here in San Diego, and you have a branch, at least one branch in East County, I understand, in La Mesa?
That's correct. We have one branch. We have 5 branches total, and one branch is in La Mesa. We were started in 1955. The majority of credit unions, all credit unions were started in this local area, and some of them expanded out, but a lot of them choose to stay in that market or that area where they were started.
In today's economy, it's been said that the average family is unprepared for even a $500 emergency, and that's really scary. Jonathan, what advice would you give to families or even single folks today on how to avoid being in that situation, and if you do have an emergency and you don't have a lot of money, what you can do about it?
That's actually a great question. Most people think that they have to have a $500, $1,000 emergency fund set up right away, when the reality is you can start incrementally. Even if you're putting $5, $10, $20 a paycheck away, it doesn't feel like as much as saying, I have to take a lump sum and put it into this account. So over the course of a year, you could save up to that $500 mark. And to be honest, in today's economy and the price of things, I would say a $500 emergency fund might even be a little bit low.
Yeah.
And nowadays, you know, just an appliance goes out in your kitchen and you're going to spend $1,000 in some cases. So, but starting small And another thing that most people don't really think about is that you can have a small automatic transfer set up from your account. So it's not like you have to, every paycheck, you have to transfer $20 from account A to account B. You can just set it up so that it happens automatically. And when that happens, we don't think about it. And generally, most people tend to not miss it because they're not thinking about making that transfer.
Now, sometimes people have a need for a larger amount of money, such as a home equity line of credit, for example, is a hot thing right now, I understand. What advice would you give to people who are considering a home equity line of credit? When does it make sense? When doesn't it? What are the advantages of that kind of financing versus the disadvantages?
There's a lot of benefits to a home equity, but as you said, that you really want to make sure that it's the right product for you and what you need it for. In the past, home equities were hot and people were using them almost like an ATM, pulling money out of their house and buying things with them, but it wasn't they were doing home improvements or they were doing things that were adding value to their home or adding value to their life, so they were just using it as a way to tap into unaccessed money. If somebody's going to acquire a home equity, we want to make sure that they are using it for the right reasons. They want to do something to their home, that they're going to improve the value of their home, or they're going to improve something in the quality of their life. And it's something that they're going to be comfortable being able to repay. The other thing with home equity is because typically they're spread out over a longer period of time, the payment's a lot lower, but the interest rate's a lot lower too. So in some cases, it does make sense to look at, let's say if you're considering installing solar in your home, which is a hot thing right now, looking to see if the loan rate on a solar loan versus a home equity, it might pay to actually get the home equity loan because the costs are less to get into the home equity. The payment terms might be better and you can pay it off and still get that solar system and then have the benefit of having that system on your home.
Well, yeah, and with buying solar, very often what you save on your utility bill in San Diego, which is one of the highest utility rates in the country, will cover the cost of a loan.
Absolutely. And again, because home equity loan payments are typically lower than because they're spread out over a longer period of time, it makes it easier for the consumer.
Yeah. What advice would you give consumers who may be in the market for a car and when they're shopping for a loan for either a new or a used car? And what kind of services are available now to help folks find one?
So there's a couple of pieces of advice. The first thing is to be prepared. Know what you're looking for. The internet has been a valuable tool for car shopping. You can utilize the internet to know pretty much down to the penny what you should be paying for a vehicle. Then you want to speak with your financial institution and get a sense for what your loan payment might be and to see if particularly if it's a used vehicle, if the amount that you're going to pay for that used vehicle, is it possible that for just a little bit more, you might be able to purchase a new vehicle that may have less cost for repairs over time and may be easier to maintain. So it's good to have that relationship with your financial institution.
Yeah, and I know from experience, when I shopped for a car a few years ago, that I was very surprised to find out that the interest rate for a used car was so much higher at the time than the interest rate for a new car that the payment actually turned out to be less to buy the new car than the used car. But I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't sat down with, a loan expert who gave me that information.
And that's great because people just don't think about that. They say, I'm going to go to the dealership, I'm going to get the loan, and they don't really do their shopping, and they don't necessarily think about the long-term cost of that vehicle. Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, is, as you mentioned, there are auto buying services. Our credit union offers it. There are some other programs out there where they'll actually find the vehicle you're looking for. They'll source it. They'll bring it to you. You can look at the vehicle and say, I like it. I don't like it. I'd like it in this color instead of that color.
Sounds great. I have to say that the car I just bought was kind of a gun to the head sort of situation. I had been in a very bad car accident. My car was totaled and I was injured. I had a neck injury and I found out my insurance only covered a week of a rental car. So I basically had to buy something right away or be continuing to pay a rental car out of pocket. It was very difficult, looking all over San Diego County when you don't feel well. So that seems like would be a valuable service to a lot of people, I think.
Absolutely. It takes the pressure and stress off, but then you also know you're getting a good deal on the vehicle and you're getting a good loan rate on the vehicle, and they'll bring the vehicle to you and then they'll actually help you and they'll take care of all the DMV paperwork so you don't have to sit and go back and forth with a finance manager for 2 hours at a dealership where they try to sell you all these extras you don't need and that type
of
thing.
Yeah, and it always makes sense to price compare between whatever the loan a car dealer may be offering you versus credit unions or banks or other options out there. Now, I understand, though, that Cabrillo works directly with some dealers now. Is that right?
That's correct. We actually have partnered with some dealerships in San Diego, and we're continuing to expand that offering to more dealerships. So that's something if a Cabrillo member goes in to purchase a vehicle and they say they're a Cabrillo member, it streamlines the loan process for them.
How is technology changing the banking industry and what a bank, or in your case, a credit union, can offer to help clients or members in your case?
Well, technology is actually changing things in several ways. First of all, it's opening up the playing field so there's more competitors. Now, that may seem like a bad thing as a financial institution, but in some ways it's good because it keeps us on our toes and it makes sure that we are providing the best possible service. The technology that we offer to our members in terms of access is the best that's ever been available to people. You can deposit a check over the phone or over your smartphone. You can transfer money. You can transfer between accounts at different institutions. So the accessibility that we have to our money now, thanks to technology, is better than it's ever been in history.
What should people know about security, making sure that your accounts are secure wherever they are, both from hackers and I guess also making sure that it's insured if you have a lot of money to worry about?
So there's a couple of things. You want to be with a financial institution that's insured, whether it's FDIC or a credit union that's insured through NCUA, which is the National Credit Union Administration. Some other things that people don't really think about is things like password security and just being, you know, being safe with your information.
Yeah.
We could probably talk for an hour about that alone, but just being smart with your password management, making sure you're not sharing your information. Don't use common things like birthdays and social security numbers and dog's name, and that type of thing. But then also partnering with a financial institution that has a solid security program in place. And you can tell when you start interacting with people, when they start asking you questions, how serious they take security.
Yeah, that's a very good point. What advice would you give our listeners if they're investigating the best type of financial service organization that would serve their needs? What are some of the questions that they should ask?
Well, I think one of the big ones is, are you looking for a financial institution that you're just going to be treated like a number, or are you looking for to have a relationship where you can go in and get to know the person that you're transacting with? So you go up to the counter, they get to know you, they get to know about your family, not too much, but enough where they can help you make informed financial decisions. And so having that relationship, one, when it comes time to apply for a loan, you may have a situation where there's something in your history, but they can help, you know, maybe go to bat for you and say, hey, you know, this is what's happening, but I have this relationship and I understand the whole picture. So that type of thing. So it's a matter of somebody's really just looking for a place to go in and conduct transactions, or whether they want that financial partner, that trusted partner.
That personal service, basically.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we were talking about earlier before this interview was the fact that financial education is not taught in public schools. It's not taught in this country.
It's shocking, really.
It is. So generally what we find is if somebody's parents have good credit, they probably have good credit. And if their parents maybe don't have the best credit, they either were embarrassed and didn't talk about it with their children, or they did and they've just followed in their footsteps. And so it's nice having that trusted advisor to be able to go back to and ask questions. You're thinking about getting a loan and they can help you make the best decisions because they can provide you some financial guidance and advice along the way.
Does that make sense even for students? You know, a lot of the kids today are getting so heavily in debt with these student loans. Is it a good idea to sit down and talk to a financial advisor?
Absolutely, because there are definitely options and solutions. They just need to feel comfortable talking to somebody. So that's why I think it's really important to go back to your question earlier to make sure you have that trusted partner and that relationship that you build over time.
Yeah. Obviously, there's some advantages of working with a small local credit union, but if someone is concerned about, you know, they're traveling, where do they find an ATM? Is that an issue?
Well, it's not really an issue anymore for most credit unions. What happened is we realized that individually as credit unions, we wouldn't have the same size ATM network as large banks do, but collectively, we have a larger network. So
I see.
So credit unions, a lot of credit unions have partnered what's called the co-op network. So our members, for example, have access to 5,500 shared branches. So they can go into one of these 5,500 shared branches around the country and do a transaction as though they were coming to one of our branches. And they also have access to over 30,000 ATMs around the country.
Oh, wow.
Plus some international ATMs as well.
That's very good to know. In all fairness, are there any services that one can't get at a credit union that one can only get at a bank or a savings and loan these days?
For the most part, products and services are the same. The one thing that comes to mind is safe deposit boxes. Not all credit unions have safe deposit boxes.
There you go. Typically, so if you've got the coin collection, you don't want to keep it under the mattress, you might still have to wander into a bank for that one. Now, I notice in doing the background research, as we mentioned earlier, a lot of credit unions started out working with federal employees or groups of employees. I know Cabrillo started out with the Border Patrol, helping the Border Patrol agents get financing, and now you're working with Sharp Healthcare and some others. What kind of services can a credit union provide to a specific group of employees?
So beyond the traditional products and services that we offer, for example, Cabrillo, we partner with the U.S. Border Patrol and with Sharp Healthcare. So we have special programs for each of those employer groups. So Sharp employees get paid a day earlier than their counterparts that are not Cabrillo members. So mm-hmm. if they're a Cabrillo member, they get their payroll a day early. And we have some other benefits, perks, and programs specific for them. For the U.S. Border Patrol and U.S. Customs in San Diego, we have programs where if their payroll, if there's a problem with their payroll coming in from their payroll department, they would receive their paycheck up to $5,000.
So like if you have one of those federal shutdowns, that could be pretty important.
Absolutely. So in the event of a government shutdown, our members that are federal employees will still get paid.
Well, there you go. Listeners, if you just tuned in, we have been speaking with Jonathan Zide, the Vice President of Marketing at Cabrillo Credit Union, which has been around for 55 years. Jonathan, we are out of time, but I want to give you the last word. Is there any other advice or words of wisdom that you would give for our listeners today?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that there's a lot of financial choices. You as a consumer have a lot of options for your finances. So the best advice that I could give is to find the right financial institution that's a fit for you and for what you're looking for in your financial needs. And if you really want that relationship and you want that guidance, there are financial institutions out there that can help you with that and provide that for you. And so just do some research. And when you're comparing financial institutions, just make sure you're comparing apples to apples and make sure that you really know who you're partnering with.
So, Jonathan, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed the time.